you, Lydia, for that good playing tonight and the good singing. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. How many people are tired? You're tired tonight. I am just tired. Anybody? Look at all those. There's a few of you, and I'm one of them. I'm tired tonight. And so let's, hopefully that won't hinder here what we're going to do and learn. And I don't want this to be a long service, but we're here to honor the Lord's table. And I want to bring a few thoughts about that tonight, the Lord's table. God only gave us two ordinances, baptism and what we're going to do tonight, observing the Lord's table. And he made it very simple, not like the Old Testament. There were so many things in the Old Testament God's people had to do. There was feast, all kinds of feasts. There was the sacrifices. There was, it had to be done a certain way, and oh my goodness, they were cumbered with so many things. That in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we have it very, very good. And it's all about Christ. Jesus Christ, everything in the Old Testament, it was land promises. It was long life and health and all of those things. It was nothing about heaven. You don't see any heaven promises in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's all about heaven. We're living for heaven. We're to have our focus on heaven. It's a promises about eternal life and heaven. You don't see that in the Old Testament. Not even, well, you see little hints of it, but you don't see the emphasis. Because Jesus hadn't died and rose again. He had to do that for there to be heaven, heaven's promises. And the new covenant is about heaven. It's about Jesus in heaven. It's about all of the blessings in Christ. We don't work for them. We kind of got to be careful here. And you know, the Old Testament is do this and you'll be blessed. Do this and you'll be blessed. Do this and you'll be blessed. That's the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, it does, if we're in Christ, we're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We're blessed in Him. There's no more that you can get, gain, is everything is in Jesus Christ. Now, and that's so important because a lot of Christian people sometimes have issues. They think, how come I'm doing this and this and this, and the Old Testament says I'm supposed to get this and this and this? And it doesn't seem to be happening. It is because we live in a New Testament covenant. Now, there are some of the Old Testament principles, will you follow them, and they will apply. You do certain things in the Old Testament, and they work. They still work, and they still apply today. But the New Covenant is in Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ, being in Christ and living for Christ and following Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. Now, the reason is what He did for us. He did everything for us so we could have these blessings in Christ. And let's just, okay, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read the two verses tonight, 24 and 25. It says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in, what's that next word? Remembrance of me. Remembrance of me. I want you to remember that. Remembrance of me. Now let's read the next verse, verse 25. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it. What's those next words? In remembrance of me. Remember me. He says, remember what I've done for you. What he's saying is all the blessings that you have in Christ are because of me, of what I did for you back there. I want you to keep your finger here and go to the book of Ephesians, okay? Keep your finger here. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, okay? Okay, verse number 3, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. This will reinforce what I've just told you, but here, look at this. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he wants these believers to see something. He's stating some amazing facts here in chapter 1. It's all about our salvation, everything to do with the believer's salvation. But he shows where our blessings are in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where are they? In Christ. They're all in Christ. You can't earn them. You won't be more blessed. They're in Christ. Done deal. Finished. Over. It's all the blessings the believer has are in Jesus Christ. Okay? In Christ. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. The blessings of the believer. Okay, the blessings of the believer, verse 1, chapter 3 and verse 1. And the apostle, again, writing another letter to a church and telling them about the blessings in Christ. And he's saying here in verse chapter 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not on the earth, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you're dead. You are dead to the blessings on this earth. The blessings for the believer are in heaven, in Christ. They're in Christ, okay? Verse number 4 of Colossians 3. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, to enjoy this blessing, to enjoy the blessings of the believer in Christ, the rest of this chapter in Colossians is written so that you can enjoy those blessings. And in order to enjoy the blessings that are all in Christ, he says, you will have to do something. Verse 5, Colossians 3. Mortify, therefore, the members which are upon the earth. Mortify. Anybody know what that word mortify means? Mortify. What does it mean to mortify? Put to death. Mortify. Put to death. That means you're going to have to mortify a bunch of, put to death things in your life, these things on this earth. You got to learn to do this. It's possible. You have to do that. You got to learn to do this if you're going to enjoy the blessings that are in Christ. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he goes down a long list. Fornication. Fornication. It's got to die. Can't be a fornicator if you're a believer that's going to be blessed. Now, a believer can be a fornicator, unfortunately. Quite a few have, but you can't be one that's enjoying the blessings of Christ at all. You will be a very miserable, unhappy Christian if you are a Christian, a believer that is a fornicator. Now, number 2, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Those are all sexual. That means pornography. That means if you're a pornography person, you're one of these people that, you know, evil concupiscence, that's sexual. Sexual sins, evil concupiscence. He says those the things, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and by the way, men and women, all the way back to the beginning of time, have battled with that, those things. And God is giving us victory over it. He's telling us how we can live in victory over those things in Christ. But you've got to mortify those things. Mortify. Now look at, he goes down the list. Covetousness. Covetousness. He says you've got to die. Covetousness. Covetousness. And he calls this covetousness idolatry. That means if we like something, if we like something and it's distracting us from serving God, from following Christ, if it's a distraction, if it detours us off, mortify it. If you can find out, is this something I'm just coveting after? This is not, God is not in this. He's not leading. You need to mortify. Look at verse number 6. He's saying all these things are for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. So what he's saying, if you want to enjoy the blessings of the believer, the blessings of the believer that are in Christ, you're going to have to mortify these things that are on the earth. And now, this is to enjoy the blessings we already have. Now, remember, this is not to get the blessings. It's to enjoy them. It's to be in, enjoy them. And now, he's not done with the list. Okay, you say, yeah, I got to take care of that fornication stuff. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I remember that, you know, my old life or the old life. But no, you know, I've dealt inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. I haven't got a problem with pornography. Now, maybe somebody does here today. Maybe you do. And I'm telling you, if you do, you are not a victorious Christian. If you're a person who is dabbling with pornography, I promise you, you are going to end up in big trouble somewhere, someday. You've got to deal with it. Mortify it. That's what he says. Kill it. It's got to die. Starve it to death, like we learn in RU. Starve it to death. Starve those wrong affections. Starve them. And don't feed them, or you will be in trouble. Okay? But he's not done with the list. Okay? He says now in verse number 8, verse 7, he's really saying this was the old life, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. That was the old life. You did that. That was the old life. But you don't. You're changed. Christ has changed you. You've been raised with Christ. Now, verse number 8, he says, but now you also put off all these. Put these off. And he goes down the list. Put these off. Okay? Mortify those first ones, but put these off. Because these are still things that we all have. Now he says, put these off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put it off. Verse 9, lie not one to another. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now the believer's life is about putting off, putting away, and putting on the new. The believer's life. The believer's blessings will never be changed. You're blessed in Christ if you're saved. But the believer's life, the blessings of this life, will be all contingent on how you handle these things right here. A lot of Christians don't go very far. They don't grow. They don't go forward because they won't mortify or they won't put off and put away things that are hindering them in the Spirit-filled walk. Okay? Verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we put off the old man, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, and put on the new man, verse 10. And this parallels the book of Ephesians. We see it in Ephesians chapter 4. He says the same thing. Put off, put away. He uses the same analogy, putting on. Okay. Now look at verse 12, verse number 12. Of Colossians 3. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against you, any, even as Christ also forgave, so do you. Okay? Forgave you. So, he's talking about the things that our life we need to put on. We need to add into our life. We need to learn it. First of all, verse 12, learn it, and then live it, verse 13. We need to learn it in verse 12, live it in verse 13 and 14. Verse number 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, the bond of perfection, is love, is really understanding the love of God and living out the love of God. Love is the heartbeat. It's the number one. I mean, God's love. That's why Paul spoke so much and taught so much on God's love. It's all your love life, your love with Jesus Christ, your love with God. That is what everything else in the Christian life revolves around. The risen life, the new life, the life, it's about loving God. It's about loving Him, having a relationship of love with Him. Okay? Verse number 16, how do we attain that? Verse 16, to attain that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Have you been doing that? How long is it since you've sang something? I mean, you sang in your heart to the Lord. Is there a song in your heart tonight? Was there a song in your heart last week? That's the Spirit-filled life. He's talking about the Spirit-filled life. Now, you won't have a song if you haven't mortified, if you haven't put off these old things and put on these new things. And I mean really seriously, put it on. Okay? Verse number 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. He says, do it all for Jesus Christ. Your life is for Jesus. You're living for Jesus. When you get up in the morning, it's for Jesus. You go to work, your job should be for Jesus. When you're a husband, your husband role should be for Jesus Christ. And your wife role, as a wife, you should be a wife for Jesus Christ. And your mother, being a mother to your children, it should be for Jesus Christ. You should be for Jesus. Whatsoever you do, it should be for the glory of God and for Jesus. Now, he's not done. He's talked about those inner things. Now he's going to talk about relationship things. And before we take the Lord's Supper, I'm just going through this to make sure we are looking at our life as a Christian. Where are you tonight? Now he's talking about relationship things. Okay, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You know what? That's how God wants us to be. Now he's dealing with relationships here, and the Christian life is all about relationships. It really is. Now you say, I have my relationship with God, and that's my business, and that's not your business. I'm going to serve God my own way. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches he's got a way to serve him, and it's relationships with God, but it's relationships with each other. And it's very important that these relationships are right and healthy. You're not a spiritual person walking with God if your relationship with one another is not right. Okay? And before we take the Lord's table tonight, if there is relationships that are not right, tonight's the night to make it right. How do you make a relationship right? First of all, you tell God you're sorry. Then you try to, you can, maybe there's a relationship, it's not somebody here. Maybe it's somebody that's at home. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody, it's your marriage, I don't know, but it's a relationship. And you know tonight that relationship is not what it should be. And it's your fault. You know it's you. You know what I think you need to do tonight? You just say, Lord, I'm sorry because of this relationship. And I know that it isn't what it should be because of me, my attitude, my actions, or something. I haven't taken care of these inner things over here, and that's why these relationships, and I promise you, if you don't get these things in the first part of the chapter right, your relationships are not going to be right. Okay? But he says here now, relationships. And look where he starts, the relationships. You know what he says? Look what he's dealing with. Verse number 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as this is fit in the Lord. He's saying, wives, isn't that ministering? He starts right here. Wives, submit yourselves. He says, wife, make sure you have a right relationship with your husband. That's what he's saying here. Make sure you have a biblical right relationship with your husband. Number two, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And you know why he puts that? Because it can happen. And he's saying, husbands, have a right relationship with your wife. Look at verse 20. He's talking about children. Children, have a right relationship with your parents. And you know how you have a right relationship with your parents? Children, and I'm talking those of you, anybody is a children who's under the authority of a parent. Now, if you're not no longer under authority and you're out on your own, this is, you know, it's still the principle applies. But here he says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Boys and girls, I want to tell you tonight how you can make God pleased with you. You obey your parents. Just obey your parents, and the Lord will say, every time you do that, he's saying, I'm pleased, I'm pleased. That's the role of a child in a home, under authority of a home, is obey your parents. Okay? Then he says, verse number 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Fathers, make sure you have a right relationship with your children. Your children have a right relationship with your children. And then verse 22, servants, that's employer. If you're an employee, that's a servant. If you're an employee, this is talking about you at work. It's about employees. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. That means down here on this earth, if he wants you to do this, do that. It's you do it. And not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. He's saying, do it for the Lord. And you know what we're going to get for doing this someday? Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So, this blessings in Christ. All because the blood that was shed, all because of what he has done for us, the blessings are in Christ. The blessings are in Christ, but the blessings for the believer here are in relationships with him and with one another. It is making sure that we are mortifying in this relationship with God. We've mortified the flesh. There's no place. We're mortified, and then we mean business about doing the rest of it. We put off and put on. We put away. We put on the new. We are kind when we don't feel like it. We're forbearing one another when we don't feel like it. Forbearing one another. You know what that is? Putting up with somebody that bothers you. That's what forbearing is. Forbearing is forbearing is you put up with, you don't react and you don't flash out and you like you used to. You forbear one another and forgiving one another. Now, it'll happen. I promise you it's going to happen. And it's going to happen with you, and it's going to happen with me. It's going to happen, but we forgive one another when it does. So I'm just asking tonight, please, as we go forward, remember. Now, remembrance, God has put the Lord's table so that we remember. He's got important things to remember. We see that thread all through the Scriptures. We see important things to remember. God never forgets what he has said he would remember, except one thing, our sin. He forgets our sin, thankful for that. He forgets our sin. You will remember your sin and your iniquities, but God says, as far as the east is from the west, I will remove your transgressions from you. That means he actually forgets every sin you've ever committed. You have a hard time forgetting them, but God forgets them. He remembers his covenant with Israel. He remembers his new covenant with his church. He never forgets those. Those are based on promises. However, we need reminders. People forget. God forgets one thing because he said he would, and that is because of Jesus. He forgives our sin and forgets our sin. We just had Remembrance Day here at our church. Remembrance Day is a day of celebration. But it's also a day of remembering why we have what we have in Canada. We have freedom and liberty. We do that so that we do not forget the price that our grandfathers paid so that we could live in a free Canada. A Canada with opportunity and blessings for prosperity and future. And why did it? Remembering helps us. Remembering. I tell you, a few years ago, there was parents who wept at the door because they got the note that their sons had died overseas. They wept at the strange train station when they said goodbye to their 20-year-old son going to war. They wept when they got the telegrams that their sons died in action. Wives wept when they got the note that their husband would not be coming home, that he was lost in action. Wives with children were heartbroken and devastated. And I want to tell you, parents and wives will never, ever forget. But you know what this generation is doing? We're forgetting. So we've incorporated in our culture a tradition. It's called Remembrance Day. And Remembrance Day is for that very thing. It's to help us remember why those soldiers died, why we have freedom. And I'm sad to say that today most people have no clue. They have a celebration, but and I try to attend the Remembrance Day service because I had a grandfather that went to war. My wife's father, he was in the war, and he's 92 years old. And when I sit down and he tells me these stories about what they did, slept out in the winter in Europe all winter. They slept in snowbanks. They couldn't light a fire. They would hide in the snow. They would cover themselves with snow so that as they would advance into the enemy territory. And he says many nights they just slept outside. He said soldiers froze their hands, froze their feet, and he said it was rough. Remembering. But I want to tell you tonight, and I share that because we just had Remembrance Day. But I share that because you know what the Lord's table? It's about remembering the price that Jesus paid so that we could have all of the blessings that we have in Him. Oh, listen, He paid a big price. He went through the and it was His blood. Without His blood, we would not have the blessings. We sang the song tonight, there is power in the blood. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As I ask the ushers to come forward, the deacons, we'll have the deacons to come forward and take their spot here as we partake of the Lord's table. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is about remembering. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance for me." He's telling them to remember this very important time. Then in verse 25, he says, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" What I'm trying to say tonight is we have some amazing blessings. We live in a dispensation, a time of blessing that has never been compared to any group of people ever in the history of the world. As a Christian, you have all the blessings of eternity. Not just down here, not just the Old Testament land in Israel. No, we have everything, all of it. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ in heaven. We are going to serve with Him for all eternity someday. We are going to help fix all of the ills and the evils of this world with Jesus Christ someday. We're going to do that. It's promised. And that's the blessings. But because His blood was shed and His body was broken, the sinless Son of God, He died. Even when we were sinners, Christ died for you. Listen, don't miss out in the blessings of the believer. They're amazing, and they're for you. Young person, don't get lured away from the blessings that are in Christ for the believer. It's the greatest life in all the world. And the Lord's table is to bring us back to why we have them. It's to simply bring us back and help us remember. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of things that God had told Israel to remember, and we don't have time to go over them, but he said in Exodus chapter 13, verse 3, Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by my strength of hand the Lord brought you out from his place. There shall be no leavened bread to be eaten. He had an Old Testament ordinance, but it was for them to remember what he did for them. He had them to remember the Sabbath day. He says, the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord God, and thou shalt not do any work thereon, nor thy sons, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ass, nor thine ox, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. He says, remember. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15, he says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence from a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. He's saying the Sabbath day was to help them remember. The Passover was to help them remember. He says, you keep an ordinance every year, Passover. It's to help you remember what I did for you. You were in bondage in Egypt, and I want you tonight to remember you were in bondage. You were in bondage one day, groveling in sin, groveling and with no hope, and without hope and without anything, impossible situation, but God moved in and he did something. And I want you to remember, when we're partaking of this table tonight, without him, you wouldn't be free tonight. You wouldn't be having these joyful days. I'll tell you, the blessings were purchased by Jesus. That's why we're here. Remember, let's remember tonight. Let's remember and let's celebrate tonight. And let's learn tonight about the blessings of the believer. Okay? We're going to partake of the Lord's table now. And the way we do the Lord's table here at Prince Albert Baptist Church, first of all, in obedience to our Savior. It is open communion. That means anybody that's here is open to take the Lord's table. But the Lord's table is a very serious thing. And if you're not sure what this is all about, just don't take it. Just let it go by. It's serious. Don't take the Lord's table if you don't understand what it is. If you don't think you're really ready, if you're not saved, if you're not a born-again person tonight, the Lord's table is not for you. And I mean know you're saved and know how you're saved, why. Okay? But it's open. So that means you make the choice tonight. I don't. You make the choice about taking the Lord's table. Secondly, the Lord's table is for you and your children. But parents, I want you as parents, you're responsible for your children. So if you know your son or daughter is saved, then you can, it's your responsibility to administer and help them partake of the Lord's table. But your responsibility also to protect your children that are maybe want to take the Lord's table tonight and just say, no, not tonight. Okay? Till they understand what it's about. It's the same with baptism. Getting baptized the Bible way. Not baptized like you were as a little child, a baby. That's not the baptism of the Bible. It's a responsibility of a parent to teach your children what it means to be baptized. Okay? One of the ordinances. This is the second one. Okay? So, any questions? Any questions on that? On the ordinance tonight of the Lord's table. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to administer the Lord's table here tonight. We'll hand out, first of all, the first thing that we give out tonight is the Lord's Supper. Okay? And so Okay, and so the deacons will give you each the Lord's Supper, and then they will come back here to the front, and I'll have one of them pray and give thanks for the Lord's table tonight, and then we will partake of it. Okay, so at this time, they will hand out the Lord's table. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. For oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Lord's table, serious business. When the deacons come back to the front here, we're going to give you a minute to examine yourself. That's what it says here in verse number 28. It says, examine themselves. But let a man examine himself. That means a woman, a man, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a child. Examine yourself. So let's do that before we take of the Lord's table tonight. Okay, well, every head bowed and every eye closed, and we'll take a minute just to, before the Lord, to examine yourself before you partake of the Lord's table. And I would encourage you tonight, if something's not right, don't partake of it until you make it right. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Brother Reuel, would you please give thanks for the bread?
Lord, we thank you for coming down and to us and being like one of us and died for us. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us. And so now we can look back and remember your love to us, great love to us. Lord, I pray that there's anyone here that is not saved. Pray that they would make you as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray for the bread. Pray that we would remember you with all our heart and how you have given your body so that you can redeem us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just remember, the blessings tonight that you have as a believer are because Jesus Christ's body was broken for you. The blessings he gained, all of them, for you. Let's partake tonight of the Lord's Supper. Father, I thank you for what you have done for us. We don't deserve it. Lord, it is so exciting to see all that you have done and all that we have to look forward to. Lord, I wish we could do more for you here. I wish we could get more people to see what you've done. Lord, Prince Albert tonight needs you more than anything else. In the prisons, Lord, those men need you. Those ladies need you. Lord, please help us be the servants, the vessels, to bring the message clearly, simply, and powerfully of the blessings, the great blessings that you purchased in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray now you would just bless as we take the next part of this ordinance that you left for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. The deacons are now going to serve the cup. I want us to remember it's a celebration tonight too. Every Lord's table, while we also remember, it's also a celebration. It's a celebration of what we have to look forward to. Amen. Every Lord's table is a celebration. We wouldn't have it without him. And it doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on you. It's all because of him. Aren't you glad about that? It's because of him. For as oft as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. It's a celebration that we have looking forward to when he's coming back. Andrew, would you please give thanks for the cup? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight again for your work on the cross, for dying for our sins.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for paying the price of our sins on the cross so we don't have to, and for making it so easy for us to be able to get saved just by trusting in you and repenting of our sins. Lord, I thank you for all, for allowing all of us here to hear the gospel at different times in our lives, and I pray that we would be the Christians that we should be. Lord, help others, especially in this city, Lord, to understand that the gospel is the answer to their problems, and that they need to be saved. Lord, again, just thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Father, again, thank you for the broken body. Thank you for the blood and the price. Lord, we're like a generation that doesn't know about the war that our forefathers fought and lived and went through. We have no idea. Lord, I pray that we'd have a greater appreciation at every Lord's table of what you really did, the price that was really paid. And we'll never know it until we get to eternity and we see the scars in your hands. But all I want to say tonight, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the church that you purchased with your blood, and that we can celebrate tonight because of what you have done for us. Help us to grow in our Christian life. Help us, Lord, to glorify your Son. Help us to be children of light in this dark city that we live. Help us to show forth the praises of him to those who we work with, those who we work for, those who we work under, those who are our relatives outside of Christ. Help us to be strong, solid, godly Christians. And Lord, if there's people here tonight that are struggling in not living in the victory that they really desire in their heart, that we would see and notice and help those people. Lord, I pray. We pray for revival, a real life, a life-producing, Holy Spirit convicting, inspired revival. And help us, Lord, to be the vessels that you can do that through. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for your Son and for being able to do what we did tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight, and have a great week. Let's remember one another in prayer. Let's love one another. And if there's something tonight that God spoke to your heart about that you need to deal with, please deal with it. Deal with it, okay? Let's live for Jesus. Let's be real. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.